So I have one slide, kind of. And passing out a little handout. So I teach our beginning heart course, Heart 201. We have a 100 level that's an orientation. This is our base heart course to prepare them for everything else. So I have to cover a little bit of everything. We no longer teach anatomy. Our kids don't take botany. Some of them don't take organic chemistry, so I have to kind of cover some of that stuff too. A long time ago, we convinced the university that it was had enough science in it for it to be a science elective. And so it's a science elective course. Because of that, I have an enrollment of about 340. And 95% of them are non-heart majors. 95% of them are non-biology or physical science majors. They're mostly liberal arts, social science, or whatever. And so it's a challenge sometimes to reach them, especially since they're coming in with not a lot of enthusiasm and virtually no background, except what they maybe remember from somebody in high school. Okay. And our science core courses every 5 years are evaluated to see if they should remain a science course. And in horticulture, every time we were reevaluated, we had to prove that we were teaching real science until this last time.
Really?
This last time, they didn't care about that. But the state of Texas got involved. And the state of Texas said every core course in every university curriculum in the state of Texas will meet certain core objectives. And so when I went to be renewed, they didn't ask me anything about what I teach, how I teach it, whether it's science or non-science or whatever. They only asked, are you meeting the 5 core objectives for science courses? First one, cognitive and critical thinking. Well, we have that covered, especially since we are a science with applications. So we can have a lot of examples of that where you have to take, assimilate, apply, and figure out. No problem. If you're not doing that, you probably shouldn't be teaching at the college level. Empirical and quantitative skills. Our lab is separate from our lecture. If we could put lab in there, we have all that covered with all our lab-type calculations. So what I have to do is make sure we have some kinds of calculations in the context of the lecture that normally we would cover in the lab, but we can do that relatively easily. Communication skills written. Man, I have multiple choice exams. If you figure out how long it would take to read one short essay of 340 students and you don't have TAs to do it, you tend to love multiple choice exams. But now I have to have them turn in some kind of writing exercise, so I have to put that in there. Okay, so I'm kicking and screaming a little bit, but I'll do it. Oral and visual communication. You got to be kidding me. 340 students. How am I going to do oral and visual communications? Now, we did the same thing with writing courses 15 years ago. But we said it doesn't have to be in every course. It just has to be in some of your courses. You can have writing intensive courses and non-writing intensive courses. This is the blanket rule. Every course will have some instruction or some activity in oral and visual communication. Teamwork. Think pair share wasn't good enough. So it has to be teamwork that actually does incorporate the principles of teamwork in a real way. So I had to figure out how can I get my course recertified and what can I do to satisfy these arrangements. And I was really mad. You know, man, you're really telling me how to teach. But I did it. So let me tell you, I'm going to show you today what I decided to do. And that's what your handout is about. I decided I'm going to make small teams. I am not going to use class time. Okay, I just don't like to use class time for other things in the lecture. I flip courses fit some people's style, but not me. Okay, think, pair, and share was hard for me to do that, much less break out in teams. If you're in a lecture hall, how do you break out in teams anyway during class? It's not very effective. So, but I'm going to assign teams, and I'm going to give them an out-of-class assignment. First part of my course is anatomy and morphology. So one of my assignments was take any two-dimensional diagram in the book, anatomy or morphology, internal or external, and develop a three-dimensional model. because I've always had trouble with students understanding how to translate the two-dimensional diagram to what it looks like in three dimensions. And I don't ever put up longitudinal sections, so I don't do much to help. So this was, I like that. It's a way for me to get them to all think about that. Or take any narrative type information that we're going to cover, and I have a little lecture stuff from the book, figure out another way to present that that addresses and reaches another learning style. And of course, the first thing they ask you is, what is learning style, Doc? I'm glad you asked. I give them the VARC URL, and I said, go to the VARC and take the VARC learning preference test, find out what your learning style is, learn what all the learning styles are, and you develop an alternate way of presenting that information that fits one or more of the learning styles. So they can pick one or two of those options. And what am I going to do for my oral and visual? They're going to make a videotape and present their model and or their artifact of the alternate learning style in a little mini lecture standpoint. So I got everything covered, okay? And that's what we did. We've done it about 2 years now. So what is my carrot? Extra points. I make it worth 10 points. About two-thirds of the students join the team and are active in it, and about one-third don't. Okay? Since it's extra points, the ones that don't get hurt. The ones that do have the potential of getting hurt. Most of them will say, I'm not going to do all that work for 10 points. And I try to remind them. I'm going to give them five exams. I'm going to count four. Your grade's based on 400 points. 10 points added to that is 2.5 points on your final grade. My grading scale is 10-point scale, 90 to 100. If you do this, you have just yourself adjust your grading scale to 87.5 to 100. You've given yourself a 2.5-point curve. Okay? Of the one-third that didn't participate, 7% missed the next higher grade because they didn't. Some of them failed because of that. Of the ones that did participate, I think it's 28% on the sheet made the next higher grade. Okay? That has solved a good problem for me. I'm having trouble keeping my percent A's above 20%. And it's an elective course to non-science majors. It hurts my enrollment that they consider my course hard. This has allowed them to make better grades. My grade distribution looks a little bit better. And the kids are not complaining as much about it being hard because they can make their own curve. Okay? That carrot has worked pretty good, but I still have one-third consistently just do not participate. But that's cool. Okay? And each team member grades every other team member anonymously on participation. So you not only have to be on the team, but you have to work. If you work fully, you get the full credit. Okay? 63% of the kids that participated got all 10 points. I grade it pretty loose. If you do a good, conscientious job and it's reasonably scientifically accurate, I'm going to give you credit. And most of them get full credit for it. Okay? So I went into this kicking and screaming, and now that they're bringing to me artifacts where I see they are truly understanding the material, and artifacts that I think are flipping cool. I can't believe you came up with this model. You know, I'll tell you the best one was they came in with a model of a chloroplast. And to explain it to them, I always lecture like, think of a chloroplast as like take two frisbees and put them on top of each other. And inside put little stacks of pancakes. And then connect the little stacks of pancakes with straws and fill it up with syrup. And you got a chloroplast. They built one. They came with a plastic container. They made little green pancakes. They stacked them up. They put the straws. They filled it up with K-Roll syrup, and they turned it in. The next day, all the pancakes swole, and it erupted out. But they were truly thinking. So on the back side of your handout, you will see some of the things that they've done. This is a dicot primary growth cross-section, and this is one of the models. I didn't show any, but they like food. I have more cakes turned in than anything else. You know? And some of the cakes are good. Most of the cakes are not. They'll bake a cake. They'll put Twix they own this food kick. They'll put Twix as a bark, good. It's three-dimensional. And then they'll take icing and redraw the diagram on top of icing. And I have to knock off two points. Good try, but it's not three-dimensional. Cut the cake and show me the inside, and you'll get full credit. Okay, cell diagram. And this is one that they turned in. It has all the parts there. They all kind of look like the diagram. I like the vacuole in the upper right corner. What do you think's inside that vacuole? Junk. Waste. Trash. You know? And then in the middle at the bottom, you can see they built a little chloroplast inside some kind of plastic container, and it's little bitty stacks of Play-Doh, whatever. So that's kind of cool. One of them made a virtual diagram, three-dimensional virtual diagram. We'll see if we can make this play. How do we make it play, Andrew?
Let's see if it, I don't know, base bar maybe?
Here we go.
Most flowers are hermaphrodite, meaning they contain
okay,
both
that's
male
wrong.
And
most flowers
female
aren't
part.
Hermaphrodites.
Sepals are small, leaf-like
but that's,
parts.
That's pretty good graphic.
With the main
you know,
function
some of these kids
is to
are pretty
protect
good.
The flower before it blossoms.
Okay.
The petal.
And then this is a couple examples of narrative type information that they represented in an alternate learning style. I will try to teach everything to at least three learning styles. Every topic I cover between me and demos and the board, I will take that information and present it three different ways, three different learning styles. So this one group came up with a visual, set a little table of the size of sand, silt, and clay. They have pictures and a little diagram, so that's pretty good. They have to tell me what learning style they're appealing to. You know, this would be visual. How many of us forced them to memorize all the deficiency symptoms? You know, they were not going to remember it ever, you know. So I said, figure out another way to do it. And I do it my ways, but this one group made a dichotomous key. Now, that's kinesthetic and visual. And that's pretty cool. And it looks jumbled, but if you follow the lines, it truly is a dichotomous key. I give them credit for getting all that stuff on one page. You know, it doesn't look like a little standard rigid taxonomic key, but that's pretty cool. And then methods of irrigation. I'm going to show you a little bit of one of the videos just to show you how much effort some kids put into it. The videos are hilarious. This one is pretty cool. Okay, here we go. They go into a 5-minute video of the Anastasia Noteworthy, that's the reporter, interviewing them. And in their interview, they introduced all the pros and cons of furrow, flood, basin, and sprinkler irrigation. And it was pretty cool. Okay, so now I love this project, and some of the students really look forward to doing it. Might get to the point where we make it some kind of contest for best video or best model or whatever to get them excited. Okay, so that was how I did team with a big group. I only feel sorry for the one-third that don't participate. Can't do anything about that. Look it up.
Questions?
How many students were in each group?
5 to 6. You know? I'm thinking about making it double that amount. And then have each group present their model to me in a brainstorming session before they make their video to use it as instructional. And the reason why I need to make my teams bigger is I have 53 to 55 teams. I'm not meeting with 55 teams. So I may make bigger teams and have more one-on-one interaction outside the classroom. Each kid will get a poll to fill out, and they will check off each person as full participation, at least half participation, and no participation. So they get full credit for full participation. They lose a couple of points for half, and no participation, they get zero. most of the kids that join the team do get involved in full participation.
One quick point of clarification. So you have the 5 qualifications for the 4 objectives.
Yes.
But then these cover 2 and they're extra credit.
Mm-hmm.
Are they okay with that?
Yes. Okay. Not satisfying the core objectives doesn't have to be with points or part of an exam. You just have to, we have to do a survey at the end of the year, the students a survey. In this class, did you get involved in a team activity? As long as the kid checks yes, and I got 2/3 checking yes, then it satisfies the state of Texas.
Okay, thank you.
And anything that satisfies the state of Texas satisfies me. So, okay. Thank you, everybody.